Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is Abigail Schreier, author of Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. Abigail, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thank you so much for having me on.
What is gender dysphoria, and why did you want to write a book about it?
Well, gender dysphoria is a severe discomfort in biological in one's biological sex. We have sort of a 100-year diagnostic history of it, and for the entire 100-year diagnostic history, it was always an ailment that afflicted boys and men and began in early childhood, ages 2 to 4. Little boys would come home saying, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, that sort of thing. And they would be very insistent about this, call me a girl, I only want to play with girls, I only want to do girl things, that sort of thing. And in some cases, it would persist into adulthood. For the first time ever in the last decade, this is an enormous epidemic among teenage girls. Teenage girls have gone from being a population that had never experienced gender dysphoria at all. In fact, there's no extant literature of gender dysphoria among adolescent girls, to the leading demographic. So you're talking about explosive numbers. It's up 4,000% in Britain, for instance, well over 1,000% in the United States. And it's, in fact, all across the West, teenage girls are now suddenly claiming they have gender dysphoria in very, very high numbers. The United States has gone, for instance, in the last decade from 2 gender clinics to well over 50. And so the question is, why? What's ailing these girls? And that's sort of what I set out to discover. It's not a project that I picked. Readers wrote to me. I was writing articles for the Wall Street Journal, and somebody wrote to me and said, my daughter just went through this. You have to write about it. And I did. And after I did, I got a flood of emails from parents saying, 15% of my daughters, my daughter's at a Tony private school in New York City, and 15% of her class now says they're transgender. What is going on? And these are numbers that don't make any sense. So we know it really isn't something that's organic or that it is traditional gender dysphoria. Traditional gender dysphoria, as I said, begins in early childhood. These girls had no history of gender dysphoria in early childhood at all. So the question became, what's going on here? Why are we seeing these numbers?
So Abigail, what is going on? What did you discover?
Okay, well, the research that was done, my book's based on the work of Lisa Littman, who did some research into this, and she hypothesized that it was a pure contagion. And one of the things that I found was, not only is it a pure contagion, but it really is a manifestation of a mental health crisis that is large and growing for teenage girls in the United States. At its core, it's not really about gender dysphoria at all. And that's why it doesn't actually behave like gender dysphoria, even though these girls are passionate insistent that they are transgender. The big difference between this manifestation and other peer contagions, because we've seen so many, it's the same population that goes through cutting, anorexia. These are predominantly white, middle class to upper middle class, very high anxiety and sometimes have depression, teenage girls. They're girls with a lot of other angst and mental health issues. So why this? Well, the big difference between this manifestation of a mental health crisis and other peer contagions that have happened to this population or befallen them is that no surgeon, endocrinologist, pediatrician, school principal, or therapist, or student body celebrates a kid with bulimia. But they do celebrate the child as soon as they say they're transgender. And so a society and a culture that should have, set up a fire break instead fanned the flames.
So how did that happen? How did so many professional organizations, such as the American Psychological Association, join in and celebrate rather than diagnose this condition?
It's interesting. It's been largely pushed by a group of transgender activists. By the way, some of whom are not transgender. I've talked to, in the course of writing the book, I interviewed, I conducted nearly 200 interviews, and I interviewed a lot of transgender adults, and many of them are very sober and lovely people. And they are not pushing for this for teenage girls. But there is a very strong group of activists who insist that everyone who says they're transgender is. We can never question it. We can never push back. Doctors cannot act as gatekeepers. They cannot even really act as doctors. They're really supposed to act as vendors and you know, meet the demand. And the demand has grown enormously. The Affordable Care Act made a lot of this, a lot of gender treatments and surgeries more available to people because it covered a lot of them, or required them to be covered. And so, all of a sudden you had a civil rights issue. You had an illness masquerading as a civil rights issue, basically. You had teenage girls in distress. But when parents wanted to say, hold on, kiddo, like, you're 14 years old, you're all of a sudden transgender, all of a sudden you have gender dysphoria, this doesn't make any sense. You never expressed any of this in childhood. The parents were told they were homophobes, transphobes, and they really received a lot of opprobrium from the culture. Another huge factor in all this is the schools. And the schools have been working really aggressively. The activists work very, very closely with a lot of the teachers' unions. And the schools have been working to undermine the parents very aggressively, so much so that in many school districts, you know, in L.A. where I am, and throughout California, and also in New York, New Jersey, they have policies where if a child decides they might be, not only do they teach gender ideology in the school, but if a child decides they might be transgender, they will announces a new name and pronouns, they will keep that a secret from the parents. Parents are not told. That's the policy.
You're listening to The Bookmonger, a production of National Review, and I want to tell you about National Review Plus. With NR Plus, you get unlimited access to National Review's digital magazine. That means no paywall, all the issues in the 10-year archive, and all the podcasts. But this is more than a digital subscription. It's a membership that includes access to our members-only Facebook page, members-only conference calls with NR writers, editors, and guests, members-only commenting on the site, and a lot fewer ads, including none within articles. To learn more, please go to nationalreview.com/NRPLUS. Abigail, what advice do you have for parents? Say a daughter says, Mom and Dad, I have something to tell you. What do you advise the parents to do?
A couple of things. First of all, of course, you know, a child who's going through this is very often in distress. So the kid is, feeling a lot of pressure and unhappiness, okay? Now, sometimes that comes from social media immersion. We're seeing a lot of that. A lot of this mental health crisis with our young people is being driven by a social media that never lets up, in which they are constantly comparing themselves to other girls and feeling like a failure. The quickest you can get them away from that, the better. It really is. It's like a club or a party that is just so cruel to teenage girls because they're the ones who are most socially, you know, aware and most socially concerned with how they're stacking up, how they look. Are they as pretty as the other girls? Are they as popular? And social media really makes this contest 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it actually sort of performs the math, right? You can just look at the number of likes and see, wow, she's 10 times more popular than I am. And it really teenage adolescence has always been a difficult time for girls, and this just makes it so much worse. So one of the things to do is to get your kid away from social media. If you can, take away the iPhone. I mean, really, it's that bad, and it's that clearly tied to mental health issues, social media specifically. But the other thing is, there's no reason to lie to your kid. There's no reason to say, oh, you are a boy. Okay, Jim. There's no reason to participate in that. And there are several reasons I would think that it's not a good idea. One reason is that it tends to solidify in the kid's mind, wow, I am supposed to be a boy. Remember that they're in a period of questioning and identity formation, as Eric Erickson called it. This is a really confusing time for them. And to tell them, yes, you're right, there's a chance you really are a boy, is not helpful. But there's something else too. A lot of times I talk to parents, and I've talked to nearly five dozen parents at this point, over four dozen, and a lot of times they'll say to me, you know, most of these, they were overwhelmingly progressive parents who've called me. And very often they'll say to me, wow, she came out as gay at, you know, 13 and I was fine with it. I, you know, let her go to prom in a tux, or I, you know, completely supported her. And then all of a sudden she was trans. And what it sort of came out as, what sort of came out of this was that what the girl was really looking for more than anything was rebellion. And the second the parents just went along with everything she said, even though she was only 13 and she was making all these identity claims about her sexuality, which she really didn't know at that point, when the parents went along with that, the daughter was then all of a sudden wanted more. And now she wasn't just a lesbian. Now she was actually really a boy. And now she wanted surgeries, and now she wanted hormones. It really is an attempt to individuate from mom.
What's at stake in all of this?
I think what's at stake is a young girl, happy girlhood and womanhood. Young girls don't realize that being a woman is a wonderful thing because the culture denies it. But actually, it's great to be a woman. It's a really, teenage girlhood is a hard time for everyone. But we need to get more honest with these girls and stop lying to them. And we need to tell them that being a woman is actually a fantastic thing to be. They don't need to be afraid of it.
The author is Abigail Schreier. The book is Irreversible Damage: The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.